amount of money that Tony Blair has been earning since he left office. Pretty obscene, I would say, I'm sure people would agree. 12 million, I think, in 18 months. And for public speaking appearances. Things are a little bit different if you stood for office for the Socialist Party or for militant forerunner. Our next speaker, Tony Mulhern, was leader of Liverpool City Council during the heroic struggle against Thatcher from 1983 to 87. And the results of that struggle and of that period in office are still standing in bricks and mortar, including 5,000 council houses, which is incredibly inspiring at a time when there's a desperate need for council houses, the repossessions, the expensive mortgages and so on. And Tony's going to speak about the relevance of that struggle for today, the lessons that we can glean from that, and the desperate need as well for a party that stands up for working class people, as was, you know, the need for that party was really adequately put by the last speaker as well. And before Tony speaks, we're just going to have a few images, a little show again, to give you an idea of the scale of that struggle, what it looked like, who was involved and so on.
Analogy to explain the antics of New Labour. inviting Dracula back to defend the blood bank is totally inadequate. Put St. Augustine in charge of a hero. Doesn't even begin to meet the problem. Putting Billy Bunter in charge of the school tuck shop pays into insignificance. As Samuel Goldwyn once said, what we need is some new cliches. It's a clear signal. By from Brown to the ruling class, to the bankers, to the short sellers, don't worry about a thing. Me and Peter will defend your interests. And we set up a war cabinet. And who's in this war cabinet? Mandelson, of course. Hedge fund director and the East short seller, Paul Mines, as city minister. Campbell Adamson, our old friend who turns up like a bad penny every time Brown needs a bit of assistance. Our next merchant banker, Baroness Vidiera, the Minister for Economic Competitiveness, who's responsible for imposing on London the PFI arrangement for the London Underground. All these people, of course, are unelected, with the exception of Brown. But capitalist apologists are busy defending the system. The Friedmanites and the Chicago Boys, who advised Thatcher and Pinochet, the bloodthirsty dictator of Chile, who Jack Straw let slip out of our fingers. These people have been cast out of darkness, and what the bourgeois are wielding is the apologists. The people who will say, like Board of the Daily Telegraph, that what we have witnessed is the people who control the banking sector, like paedophiles in the priesthood. What he said, what he reveals is the crisis of the banks, he says, is the corruptness of the market and not its natural expression. In other words, what we've had is bad capitalism. What we've got to restore is good capitalism. But we know, a brief reading of history shows us that capitalism in all its forms is blood-soaked, is bloodthirsty. And what's our answer? Where is the voice of the labour movement? We look at Newsnight, we look at Question Time, we look at the BBC News, we look at Sky News. We fail to hear a voice of the labour movement that the working class is now deprived of a mass-packed platform. And that's why the campaign for the New Workers' Party is now posed so directly and so importantly. That, of course, between these Tories and their ground is beginning to shrink. As evidenced by the by-election yesterday, there was several mitigating factors for that. But the reason why that is happening is because of the absence of the mass alternative which can be offered by the socialist movement. Comrades, we proved in Liverpool, and we mobilised the mass of the working class on a clear programme. If you translate the ideas of socialism into the language of 5,000 houses, into the language of 2,000 jobs, into the language of nursing schools, into the language of social services, into the language of apprenticeship with kids leaving school, then you will receive the mass support of the working class who desperately seek an alternative. Thatcher made a concession. The only local authority that succeeded in extracting funds from the Tory government was Liverpool. They conceded £30 million, which allowed us to carry out our electoral programme. And we were in a position that if four, five or six of the major authorities would have continued to support us, then Thatcher would have been compelled to retreat. Of that there is no doubt. Liverpool, with the assistance, by the way, of the trade union leaders, of the Labour leaders, Lord Kinnock, Lord Tom Sawyer, Ron Salt, David Basnett, people who claim to stand on the left, all of them came to the assistance of the Thatcher government. And they put the boot in. And we were removed from office, as I said before, on the biggest frame-up in history. £106,000, which is pocket money, compared to the largesse which is doled out by the representatives of the ruling class at this particular stage. And therefore, it's important that we develop the campaign for the New Workers' Party. At Liverpool, in the last 18 months, we've had several magnificent meetings. We had Ken Lowe speaking on our platform when we presented the film of the Doctor Struggle. This was part of our Alternative City of Culture programme. City of Culture, Liverpool is now the City of Culture. Now you would have thought that Liverpool was built on rock and roll. Because there's no mention of the role of the working class or the role of the Labour movement. And our task was to put the role of the Labour movement in the public eye. And we've succeeded to some extent. Ken Loach is up on the doctor's study. Vicky Tomlinson spoke on one of our black bones before that. We showed land and freedom, the struggle of the Spanish working class. We had Ian Hart, who'd done an interview for that particular programme, for that particular meeting. And we had the marvellous meeting with the Terry Fields Memorial meeting, where on a night, by the way, where Liverpool were playing in the European Cup, 200 turned out to the Terry Fields Memorial meeting, and that received a tremendous response from the Liverpool working class. So the seeds are sown, the seeds are being sown. No question that the possibility now of developing a mass movement around the campaign for the New Workers' Party is clearly on track. But comrades, it's also Remembrance Sunday tomorrow. And no doubt in Whitehall, we'll see the charlatans, the sanctimonious speeches about the glorious dead. But I think it's important that we remind the working class about the millions of workers in uniform that were slung into two horrific world wars. My own father was one of them who went ashore in Normandy in 1944, survived and came back a wreck of a man. His uncle before him, who was killed in Flanders in 1918. And there's millions like him who to this day lie in graves scattered around the world and the butchery that is taking place in Iraq and Afghanistan as we speak. That is the legacy of capitalism. That is how capitalism survives. And it's our responsibility to ensure that the consciousness of the working class is raised every time a crisis takes place. And therefore, comrades, I would argue that it's our responsibility from this rally this weekend to take the message back to our own areas to ensure that the current crisis of capitalism is explained in the clearest possible terms. And to mobilise the working class on very, very clear, simple programmes. Houses, jobs, a future for the kids and peace. That's the socialist programme that we, as a campaign for the New Workers' Party, can project to wider and wider levels of the working class. Thank you.